So we're moving on to our Bible reading, which is found in Luke chapter 10, and it's headed, Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet one another on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.' Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For at the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who has sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Amen.
Until it was pulled down, the walled city in Hong Kong was one of the most dangerous places to actually live. It was a lawless place. It was dominated by the triad gangs. Police hesitated to go into the walled city. Strangers were unwelcome. Drug smuggling was rife, heroin addiction, opium addiction, prostitution. It was a lawless, it was a impoverished, it was a dangerous place to live. When Jackie Pullinger set sail in 1966, she had no idea what God was actually calling her to. She'd experienced the love of God. We're getting a lot of feedback here, Leon. Are we able to adjust some levels there? I'd appreciate that. Jackie experienced the love of God. And then she saw herself as actually, "Okay, God, I'm yours. Send me into the world." She had a very small amount of money, no mission agency. She packed a suitcase. She was 21 years of age. And she decided to go into the world to be a blessing and to serve Jesus. She got some advice from her pastor, who said this: "Jackie, buy a ticket for a boat going on the longest journey you can find and just pray to know when to get off the boat." Good advice. She found basically the cheapest ship on the longest route. She went through many, many different countries. She felt the Spirit stirring in 1966 to get off at Hong Kong, where she found herself working as a primary school teacher in the walled city in Hong Kong. 21. White English female with the love of God in her heart in that walled city, teaching primary school kids. In fact, it was so dangerous that the Chinese actually called the city Haknam, which is darkness. Most people basically either worked in sweatshops, pushed drugs, or they really just gave themselves to prostitution. The triad gangs made life incredibly hard. When Jackie would walk through the streets, basically it was not uncommon to see 100 people chasing the dragon. It's a vernacular term for how they induced opium or heroin. Jackie was so moved, all she wanted to do was make a difference. And this is what Jackie said. "I said to the Lord, it would be worth my whole life if you would use me to save just one of them. I wanted to be in your purpose." Jackie wanted to change the community that God had sent her to, and so she started a youth center. And as the youth would come, it was like the door of heaven opened and the light of Jesus Christ was shining on this dark city. And in this youth center, kids were hearing about Jesus Christ. And for some, as they turned to Jesus, they didn't even need to go through withdrawals from drugs. It was like a light switch that just turned on. Now, some did go through withdrawals, and that's very normal to do that coming off drugs. But there was miraculous works where there was huge transformation of kids' lives in this youth center, to the point then that Jackie then established a home, and a number of these kids needed some shelter, and they started to live not just in the youth center, but in this home. She faced violent opposition. She wasn't safe in the city. It wasn't all roses for Jackie. It was a difficult place that God sent her to, but she was protected from the evil one. In fact, so much so that St. Stephen's ministry has now become an international ministry all around the world, helping mostly teenagers be able to come off drugs and find the Lord Jesus Christ. Jackie, she understood that as a disciple of Jesus, that we are sent into dark places to shine the light of Jesus Christ. I love this image of Jackie. As she's with these boys, these men now that she's given her life to, I love the joy. Because sometimes I wonder that when we don't see ourselves as being sent, what are we actually missing out on? God is already working all around our world and all around our community. He's already out there working, and he actually invites you to come and participate in what he's already doing. It's not up to us to change lives. We're just going to be willing to go, available, willing to be that river of God's blessing, to let God use you wherever your circle of influence is. For Jackie, she had a unique moment in history where she was called to the walled city. Are we all called there? Well, no, because it's clearly been pulled down. But wherever God is sending you, he's already at work. But do you have eyes of faith to see what God is doing and a willingness to participate in the work of the Spirit? And that's what Jackie did. She understood that being sent meant that she was there to listen to those that are struggling, to eat and share her food with the poor, to share the good news of Jesus. I think Jackie was living a freedom to bless life. And while there's hardship and danger, can you see the joy on her face? Sometimes I feel like we have so much blessing, and yet we still have sagging faces. What's missing? What's missing? Because faith comes alive when we see ourselves as being sent. When you bless another in the name of Jesus, faith comes alive. The Spirit has such exciting work for you to do. But we've looked at a couple of challenges, like selfishness, like wanting to be private. Many, many stumbling blocks are before us. Sometimes that get in the way of us seeing ourselves as the sent ones. But we've been looking at this acronym, be for bless, L for listen, E for eat, S for share, and now, yes, today we're looking at sent. And I trust that this story, Jackie's story, she's written a book called Chasing the Dragon. Got to get this book, probably my favorite missionary read. I hope that from her extreme example, that we would feel a stirring. I hope that today you don't just feel this dull numbness in your soul when it comes to you seeing yourself as sent. Rather, I pray that the Spirit would stir within you a rich excitement that you can't wait to get out there and be a blessing. You can't wait to get out there and share food, be quick to listen, to share the good news of Jesus, to find a moment to bless someone with no strings attached. It brings great joy. And it brings about God's love. We're going to have a look at John chapter 17. This is a really intimate prayer that Jesus prays. And he's praying initially for himself, and then he prays for you and I. Let me read up for us John chapter 17 from verses 15. Jesus is praying. He says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message." That is you, friend. That is me. We have this beautiful prayer of Jesus Christ. Let's be touched by his missional heart for you and I, for his desire for all people in the world to worship him and love him. There's a few things I want to highlight, underline, point out from John chapter 15. The first is this: God's plan is to not take you out of the world. I'm going to say it again. God's plan is to not take you out of the world. Look at verse 15. "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." God isn't looking to take you out of your sphere of influence into some holy huddle where you're nice and safe. No. God isn't here to take you out of darkness. He's calling you to go into darkness to shine the light of Jesus Christ. Just like Jackie in the walled city. Jesus wants us to go to difficult places, challenging places, places that would take us out of our comfort zone where we can only depend on God. Jackie was not safe in the walled city, but she could be guaranteed of one thing, that she could be protected from the evil one. Jesus never said that you'd be safe, but he did pray that we would be protected from Satan and his schemes. Jackie wasn't safe in the walled city, but she was protected from Satan because Jesus prayed it thousands of years ago, and we are still living in the answer of that prayer today. So Jesus' plan is to not take us out of the world, and yet, this is really important, we are not of the world. Really important teaching this. We are not of the world. Have a look in verse 16. Jesus' intimate prayer. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So the idea is to not get us out of the world, but we're not of it, which means we're just different. We're not better than the world, we're just different. We're not more superior to the world, we're just different. Jesus prays that we would be sanctified by the truth of the word. What does that mean? I think this is what it means. That we would hear the word, that we would remember the word, and that by persevering we would do the word. When Jesus talked about the parable of the seeds, the seed that fell on good soil, those that bear fruit for Jesus are those that, this is clear, exactly what Jesus said, those that hear the word, those that remember the word and those that do the word. That's what makes us different. We're to be different in the world because the word of God is transforming our life. It's transforming our ethics. It's transforming our integrity. It's transforming how we love. We'll say no to selfishness and yes to sharing, yes to being generous and kind and loving and gracious. And that is the word of God alive in us. We're not taken out of the world, but we're not of the world, which means we're different. We're people being transformed by the truth of God's word. How do you experience transformation? Hear the word. You remember the word, and by persevering, you do the word, and you will experience a transformation so that when we go into the world, into dark places, people can see the difference that the power of the word is making in your life. Does that make sense? The third thing I really want to point out here is that we are sent into the world different. Verse 18, Jesus prays, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified, which is being changed by the word of God. Jesus prayed, Father, you sent me from heaven to earth. Here's the big finish. Jesus, he prays and he wants us to hear from his heart prayer to the Father that we are different in the world, sent by God to be that river of blessing. It's Christ-like in the world. What does that look like? Well, we love when people aren't thankful. We quicken our listening so that others are heard. We eat meals with those that have no means and no way to pay back. We share our faith, our time, our skills, our two hands. We shine with integrity and character that stands out. Christ-like in the world. If we want to see revival, I don't think it's just another church service. If Australia really wants to see a revival take place, there needs to be a paradigm shift where you and I and every single disciple of Jesus in this nation sees themselves as the sent ones into our communities to bring a radical love that comes from our transformation of the Word of God in us. Revival is not really the next person's responsibility. It's the power of God, but it's our willingness to go. Are you willing to see yourself as a sent one? What does it look like? I've really loved our open mic sharing over the last few weeks in the AM and the PM. So what does sent look like? Well, it looks like Doug and Christina that hear some struggles on their next door neighbours. They give them a gift and they put a Kuron card in it. And from that, they're being invited over for a meal. May they share Jesus. It looks like one of our youth young adults at Climb Fit Kirrawee that sees somebody struggling that doesn't really know how to climb and goes over and teaches them and shows them and then actually talks about why they helped. Sharing Jesus in Rocknasium, literally sharing the gospel. What does it look like? It looks like people from CBC inviting Alexandra's family repeatedly over to their house because their house burnt down. It looks like a couple of guys that goes over to Annalise Wary's house and clears out the gardens. It's the church sending out rescue boats into the world. Do you remember the Thai soccer team that was swept deep into the cave in Chiang Rai in 2018? They spent 18 days in that cave. 18 days. They were swept into that cave on the 23rd. Imagine that being your son or grandson. It'd be pretty unnerving. Take a look at the next picture. They're 2.5 miles underground, and if you just check out some of that writing there, you can see that the scuba divers had that very narrow passage, but then once they had the narrow passage, they had climbing gear. You'd be loving that, Lawson. They have climbing gear to traverse down into another water section, and they had to get those kids back out. 2.5 miles underground. They were discovered on the 2nd of July, and it took them 8 days to get out. So the 10th of July, they all got out. They were all safe. Have a listen to the logistics that it took to get these kids and the coaches out. 10,000 people were involved in that cave rescue. 10,000. 100 divers were involved, 100 different government agencies, 900 police, 2,000 soldiers, 10 helicopters, 7 ambulances, and the death of a Navy SEAL diver. All because of a missional mindset, knowing that the odds are against us, but we're going to go into the darkness of that cave and we're going to rescue. My friend, those that come across your path in life, if they are not following Jesus, they are also trapped in a cave of their own sin, separated from God, and need the light of Jesus Christ to get them out of that cave. And God is sending you to go into that cave with His love and His power to shine His light so that that person can be free. Are you excited? There is an adventure every day with Jesus. But the thing that I love about this story is that it wasn't just one individual that got them out. I think in the West, we miss out. Our mission is so focused on, can you go out individually? But what would it take if we actually had a missional mindset like that cave rescue and we all drew together and in community? Christian community, together. We're going to shine brighter if we're together than just one, right? My mind wonders, what's it going to look like for us to go into the very cave that people are trapped into to shine the light of Christ as the sent ones? Jesus didn't just pray about us being sent and being protected from the devil and being different and transformed by the word. Jesus didn't just pray about this, he actually did it. He did send his disciples out, not by themselves, but in twos. And Jill read that passage for us, and I'm going to turn there to Luke chapter 10. Let me just read the first couple of verses. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And Jesus told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go! I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. He gave some instructions and he sent them out. Have a look at these words of Jesus. Sent, send, go, I'm sending you. Can Jesus be any clearer today to what he's expecting of us? But what are they to do when they're sent? Have a look in verses 8 to 9. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Here is the blueprint of what it looks like to be sent. There is an action of love, healing, and there is an act of love, proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Do you see that? There is an action of love, being a demonstration of power, healing, And there's an act of love, which is to talk about Jesus Christ and his kingdom. So as we are sent, we are also sent to bless in great actions of love. But those actions of love need to be backed up with the words of Jesus Christ. We're not just doing good. We're doing good in the powerful name of Jesus, who can rescue you from the darkness of your own cave into the light of Jesus Christ and the freedom that we have in Christ. It's right there in the Bible what we're meant to do. It is so clear. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I think it's a really important paradigm shift. These disciples had an attitude of anyone, anywhere. Anyone, anywhere was an opportunity to bless, to heal, and to share. Can you imagine tomorrow morning, as you go about your day, if you had an attitude of anyone, anywhere is an opportunity for me to bless and love and share Jesus? Until we get that missional mindset, we're only going to be a holy huddle, safe with each other. That's not what we're called to. We are sent by God into our world. Anyone, anywhere. And Jesus, as he sent the 72 out, we read this: the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And how true that is today. My encouragement is, be a part of the few that Jesus could see. Are you one of the few? Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. May that penetrate your prayer life. How often do we pray, God, send out more workers, send out more workers. Go, Jesus says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Imagine what Jesus could see. I think this is where the rubber hits the road. Being a lamb amongst wolves, that ain't a comfortable place. Think about it. Nice little cute lambie surrounded by wolves baring their teeth. That's exactly what Jackie Pullinger experienced every day of her life. A 21-year-old white female in the walled city, I'm thinking lamb, surrounded by wolves, but powerfully protected from the evil one. And I think that's where we probably hesitate. No one wants to be like a lamb surrounded by wolves. And in the marketplace today, wow, you start to share some of your thoughts, you'll soon feel like a lamb surrounded by wolves. But can I say that we can be confident Christians in Christ still, confident in our personal testimonies of the difference that God's making to us, confident in the life, death, resurrection, and the coming judgment of Jesus that brings transformation, confident that when we bless another, that person can experience the love of God. And as we go, confident Christians in Christ, as we go with an anyone, anywhere attitude, we will experience God provide in the most powerful ways. Allow me to read as we sort of do draw to a near here, conscious that we're getting to lunch today, but allow me to read a powerful way of God's provision that Jackie experienced. I knew God would provide for me, she says. But as the family in Lung Kong Road, which was a home for the mostly teenage boys, they grew. I was amazed to see our income grow too. Ever since I'd stopped teaching full time, I found that I received all that I needed. I was able to pay for the rent, the youth club room, and my language lessons. Sometimes a check would arrive in the post. Sometimes a friend would give exactly the same amount as I had been praying for. When I wanted to buy a rubber boat for a swimming expedition for the boys, a friend sent the right sum of money from England without knowing it. Now, while we never had enough money to pay for the next week's food or rent, we always had enough for each day. This was exhilarating for the boys who felt they had a real part in God's work when they prayed each morning for their daily bread. Sometimes an anonymous sack of rice would appear on the doorstep. On one occasion, it was a coffee table. Every Sunday after the morning meeting, we invited many people to lunch with us, all at Lung Kong Road. A number of guests needed a good meal, so it was really sad when one Sunday I had to tell the boys that we had no money for food. "Boil the rice anyway," I said, "and we'll pray that God will put something on top." 10 minutes before lunch, a panting and sweating visitor arrived carrying tins of food and fresh bean sprouts. His Kulong Bible class had made a collection for us on the spur of the moment and sent him with their gifts. The young man, William, enjoyed being an answer to prayer, just as much as the 30 of us enjoyed a huge meal only 10 minutes later. It was an exciting way of life. Boil the rice anyway. As we are sent, God will provide for us in miraculous ways. But you've got to be willing to go. We're going to have a time of worship. We're going to sing "Christ is Enough." Boil the rice anyway. Is a beautiful metaphor that Christ will always be enough, even though we may not have the answers. Do you know that you have everything you need to shine bright this week for Jesus? You have the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit, you have a Christian community. Don't waste your time playing it safe. We're called to go out. And know that Jesus has prayed for our protection from the evil one. He will give you what you need, the words to say, the actions of blessing. Do you trust him? Are you willing to pray, "Lord, today, anyone, anywhere, send me"? Christ is enough. I invite the band to come forward. Christ is enough. And as we sing this out in our heart with a mask, but as we stand, know that you are standing in the power of God who is sending you out into the dark caves of the Sutherland Shire to shine the light of Christ to bring that freedom. And he wants you to do it. Yep, you. We're going to sing this out. And I'd love to pray something of a commissioning prayer over all of us that I believe matters more than just the words I say. But I'm trusting that heaven will open its door and that you'll experience the fresh calling to go in the name of Jesus. Let's do this. Let's steady our hearts to be ready for the Spirit to fill us to go. In the name of Jesus. In these moments at home, here, we just want to pray that the Spirit would come upon us. That the Spirit would be breathing in us a fresh zeal for the name of Jesus to go and be that river of blessing. Where is God sending you? You know, for me, personally, in my own life, I've taken on an assignment to coach under-10s women's soccer. And it's my niece's team. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but I feel that the Lord wants me to go and to really bless this soccer team and to be a part of shining Christ's light there. You meet parents and engage, and you just want to overflow that love of God. Where is God sending you? When Jesus rose back to life and he was with his disciples, he said over their life, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I just pray that for us today, that we will have His Spirit breathed into us again. For there is no doubt, if you follow Jesus, you are sent. Our Father Almighty, we want to thank You and praise Your name, that there are still many more in the harvest field today that need to know that You are alive. Lord Jesus, those around us we acknowledge that aren't following You are really trapped in a cave of their own sin, with moments of joy, but nothing lasting if it's not of You. Lord, we acknowledge that You call us to go. We acknowledge this morning that we are the sent ones. And we acknowledge that it's Your Word in us alive again. That we become that living example of Your power at work in us. May we continue to taste and see that You are good. Father, keep changing our hearts. Keep being patient with us. May the truth of Your Word continue to transform us. But Lord, we want to go in the powerful name of Jesus. I just want to encourage you that if you feel that stirring, that you feel that you're sent too, can I encourage you just to put out your hands in front of you as a symbol of just being available to God. And just pray in your own heart language, "Lord, here I am, send me." Take this moment. "Lord, here I am, send me." Jesus, as You breathed out Your Holy Spirit on Your disciples, may we today again receive the freshness of Your Spirit, because we can't do it in our own strength. Encourage you with your hands open before God to just pray, "Lord, fill me with Your Spirit again." Father, build up our lives. Send us from here to be that river of blessing to those You bring across our path. May it start in our homes, and may it flow out into our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and those that You bring across our path. Lord, take us and send us, we will go. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to worship.